April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app, and it is Monday morning. It is a good morning. It's the morning that we get to react to the Eagles versus Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. How much have we talked about this?
It's unbelievable.
Eagles versus Andy. It's happening, Elliot.
I mean, you couldn't script it. You know, like, it's unbelievable that it's actually going to be the Eagles versus Andy Reid.
I mean, come on, dude.
And not to mention, just from, like, a WIP perspective, the fact that Angelo Gattaldi's,
oh my God,
and the weeks before you take over, the last bit of content is the Eagles in the Super Bowl versus Andy Reid.
It's, like impossible to believe that actually happened in Angelo's last, you know, yeah, 2 weeks. Is like, it is, if it, like, as much of a, you know...
Like, there's a sports god out there
I used to do shows with Sigmund Bloom. Shout out to Sigmund Bloom, great guy. He always had a really good phrase for these type of things.
Yeah.
He called it the universe winking at us. And this is like the universe, like looking at us and like nonstop winking, like, look at this, how crazy is this?
It's like in Seinfeld when he got grapefruit in his eyes.
Yes, there you go.
How about that reference?
Yeah, that's good. Look at
you like
buddy.
That? It's a good one.
Seinfeld, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah. that's what we're bringing you. See, yeah, that's what you came here for on the daily and pods every day to listen. Well, by the way, we get to do our full run of it. Very
I was
going to
say, like, we're literally going to do, yes, now we're at 10. This will be number 11. We will end this with 20 live pods.
Yeah, and Chad,
the most we could have possibly done.
I can't tell you how exciting it was until so many people last night, like, more pods.
I know,
I was like,
awesome.
You are my favorite people on the planet. But yeah, we get to do more pods because we get to talk about the Eagles and Andy Reid,
well,
the freaking Super Bowl.
And also, so last night, after the game ended, like, obviously we're following, you know, what's happening afterwards. But we had to come in here. We had to record, do the pod and everything.
Yep.
So I feel like we didn't really get to see live all the celebrations, you know, like all the... Mm-hmm. And I will say, it was really, really, really cool watching everyone run out to Broad Street to celebrate Gannon coming back. Like, I knew people would be happy, but I got to say, seeing, you know, them climbing grease poles, all those things, knowing Gannon's coming back was pretty awesome.
Can I say something? And it's the Monday after the Super Bowl, so, you know, sometimes you say things in the midst of an emotional moment that maybe isn't always what you think, or you don't want to necessarily be... held to
well, look,
the standard.
We're an emotional pod.
Held to the standard that you say in an emotional moment or whatever, but happy's coming back.
Thank you.
Just saying.
It's just, you know. now, we'll see how you feel, you know.
Yeah, again,
Sunday
reserve,
night
reserve
after.
The right to change that opinion, but, you know, look, you come on, I mean, we talked a lot yesterday. It was like really, we were really reacting to the emotions, and we talked about some plays and some players and stuff, but like, Like, the defense was freaking awesome yesterday. I mean, yeah. I know they went up against backups and backups and backups, but, like...
But they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
They did what they had to do, other than the McCaffrey non-tackle. Like, they were phenomenal.
I should really look this up, because we talked about it on the pod last night. But, like, I really don't think the Niners threatened to score the entire game after that touchdown.
We talked about it.
I don't think they were in the red zone. Yeah. But, and again, like, look. It's Purdy. It's Josh. It's Josh Johnson. Like, you're not supposed to give up a lot of points. But it's tough to hold any offense to 7 points. Like, any offense in the entire NFL told them the 7 points really tough, especially when the opposing head coach is someone that, look, might be a bit of a fraud. Maybe I was right all along about him being a fraud. You know, this is why you...
It's hard. Look,
not
again,
a fraud. I'm kidding.
Josh Johnson played in the NFC.
I'm kidding.
Like, I mean, it's one of those things where, as much as we knew all year, and I don't, it wouldn't have mattered if Jimmy G was still
healthy.
Yeah, the
Niners were never in the red zone.
Like, the Eagles were just the better football team. They were the better football team all year. The Niners had a nice little run heading into the playoffs with those wins, yeah. But they weren't close to the Eagles. The Eagles were the best team, like, flat out. But saw someone make it on Twitter a good point. It's like, if you get down to your 4th-string quarterback in the NFC Championship game, probably not your year.
You're probably not going to win.
It's just probably not your year.
100%, you know? Yeah. But look, like, the Eagles lost to Brad Johnson. I know he's not the whatever. You know, like, things happen. Joe Webb happens. There are certainly games where Tyler Heinicke happens. Like, there are games where you lose to bad quarterbacks. And especially when you have that opposing, offensive mind on the other sideline, whatever. Like, I don't know why I said that. Like, I'm like some, some like national, like, he's got a great offensive mind. Like, when you have Kyle Shanahan on the other sideline, 7 points is 7 points.
Yeah.
So. And the defensive line was unbelievable. I will say one thing that I've thought about a lot since the end of the pod last night, and I think we did a good job on the pod discussing it. God, man, Hassan Reddick is just...
It's all I've been thinking about.
It's unbelievable.
Again, I said last night, I think it's arguably, when all into account, the greatest defensive season in the history of the Eagles. Like, it's up there. It's with Reggie White when he had 22 sacks or whatever it was, or 20 sacks, whatever, like in 12 games, I think it was. Like, I mean that's amazing. But, like, this guy has done it to the Super Bowl, and in the two playoff games, he's been arguably the best player on the field for both of them.
Yeah.
Like, he was certainly the best player on the field yesterday. The best player on both sides of the field yesterday was Hassan freaking Reddick.
I mean, I would
in
have...
the NFC champion, like, if you give out an MVP, right. Like, we'll get a Super Bowl MVP when that happens. Like, if you get an NFC championship game MVP or an NFC playoffs MVP, it's Hassan Reddick, Elliot.
And I think they actually should give that award out.
I do too. Like, they give it out in baseball.
Yeah,
like,
just one
like
game. Who cares?
Bryce Harper, NLCS MVP. Yeah, like, that was cool.
Not
I'm
afford
with
the
you.
Trophy. Like,
I'm
just
with
put
you.
It out. Like,
dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think that for our lifetime, the gold standard of free agent acquisitions has been Terrell Owens. And
even though it was like a trade for
whatever,
like,
right? But
off season acquisition,
right? That's been the gold standard. And I think, in a way, T.O. will never
though
be
you
topped.
You could argue Nick Foles bringing back as the backup quarterback, the all time best free agent signing.
But,
I know what
but
you
in
mean.
Terms of
a big money signing,
right.
Or like,
but
quote unquote.
If you think about the T.O. thing, the reason it was such a big acquisition is because they really, really, really needed receivers. Right?
Always, our whole life.
Think about last year. They only had 29 sacks all last year. I mean, think of how many, I don't know how many sacks they finished with yesterday. Was it like 4 or 5, something like that? They're going to have 10 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They had 29 or whatever it was all last year. So when you talk about like a need where the T.O. thing filled a need, Hassan Reddick filled almost an equally important need.
Yeah, probably the biggest
And he's
need.
Not as exciting as a position. Like, I get all those things. But yeah, man, I mean... He's really, really, really good.
Really good. And again, I know I said it last night, but I don't think you can hammer it home enough. Just not only, look, you know me. I'm, this is so up my alley and all that. And we're both Temple guys. But regardless, I'm like I love the hometown kid thing. It's something in sports that, because again, they're humans and all that. Like, I just think it's cool when someone who's from a city, who grew up there, rooted for these teams, actually gets to play for those teams and do special things for those teams.
Yeah.
And this kid, to be from here, to again, walk on at Temple. Like, he was a walk-on.
Well,
it's freaking Temple. He didn't walk on at freaking Alabama.
Yeah.
He walked on at Temple. And now he's the best player in the NFC playoffs for his hometown team.
It's crazy.
Like, it's a great story.
I kind of feel like I could have walked on to Temple as a kicker.
Oh, buddy.
Just saying.
Yeah.
This could have been me, basically. That's all I'm saying. It could have been me at the lake last night. But I was thinking, to keep with the Reddick thing. Last night when he gets the forced fumble, then he recovers the fumble. He's on the sideline. He's, hyping up the crowd. The place is going crazy. Like, that's why you come to Philly.
Yeah.
Like, right there. That's why you don't take a little more money to stay in Carolina or, you know.
We saw it with baseball, too. It's the same thing where, like, Trey Turner's like, you know, obviously he signed for money. His wife's from here and all that. But he's like, dude, like,
yeah,
that was awesome. Like, yeah. I want to do that. I want to be the dude who hits it into the sea of red. Same point with Reddick. Reddick got the opportunity to, like, do that. You're right.
It's getting close to the point where if you don't list, like, if you're a national analyst and you're talking about, like, the best edge rushers, and you don't mention Reddick anymore, it's getting to the point where it's a bad look for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're wrong. You know, I mean, it's in some order, like Bosa, Parsons, you know, Myles Garrett.
Reddick.
Yeah, I can't think of who would.
Yeah, I mean, Jones is an inside rusher. He'd be Chris Jones, obviously, and he was, you know, anyone who was like, he was phenomenal in that game, too. But.
Well, so when I probably got home, I don't know, 8:30, 8:40, whatever.
We got home like right at the end, like a little bit left in the third. Yeah, I think there was like a couple minutes left in the third quarter type of thing.
And when I got home, I was thinking like, wow.
And we were watching on the way home on my phone.
Yeah, on your phone. Yeah. Look at you streaming. Big tech guy.
I felt pretty cool.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty badass.
It was pretty good. But when we got home, I Kristen's there. She had been out celebrating. And I'm like, wow, it's early. Like, I'll probably get to bed early. Dude, I'm shocked. Like, I couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep either.
I didn't fall asleep until probably 1:30.
I was laying in bed. Yeah. I kept thinking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was like, you know, doing research.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, thinking about everything.
I felt the same way. I couldn't fall asleep.
I was shocked. Like, again, because I knew I had to get up early. But, yeah, I mean, we're even on the drive-in this morning, we were saying, you know, they're going to the Super Bowl. And it just doesn't feel completely real yet.
Because it was so easy.
Dude, even just thinking about
it, it shouldn't be as easy as it was, man. Like, to the point of, like, all season long, it felt like preordained. Felt like, all right, this team's going to the Super Bowl. They're the best team. The only time they had any sort of doubt, anyone had any doubt, was when Hurts was out.
That day when the line
literally
moved or whatever.
When the backup was out. And then they, again, I said it last night a bunch of times, but it bears repeating. Then they come into the playoffs and outscore their opponent 69-14. Yeah. Like, at no point in the playoffs have we even stressed. So it even the 38-7 in 2017 or 2018, technically, but you know what I mean? The start of the game, they score quick. We're like, oh God. And then the first half, it felt close. And then the Eagles pulled away. Like, at no point in the playoffs have the Eagles been threatened. It just feels different.
I mean, you figure they've played two full games and there was maybe like 10 minutes of game time where you thought like, oh, this is a little close. Yeah. And yesterday there was a point where it was like, this is a little
7-7,
close.
7-7,
right?
It was like, it's annoying. Like,
but outside of that, I mean, and again, once Purdy was out, the only thing that made you think they would lose would be like the worst case happens. Yeah. But no, I mean, even just something dumb like I was thinking last night, think of all the cool like Super Bowl merchandise.
Oh, I know, dude. I know. Look, I already got a.
I know. Oh, that's
shout out to the great Joe Wechter last night.
Hold it up. See, this is why you watch on YouTube for moments like this.
The great Joe Wechter getting a conference champion shirt.
Very nice.
Ready to roll. Look at this. My future. Spend every day with him, Joe Wechter. Love that.
Well, there was a moment last night. I saw it. I think it was on the news, and this kid. Here I am, sounding old again. But this kid, he was like, I don't know. He was like 23, 24, I would guess. And he's like, man, like, this is like the best moment of my life. Or like, you know, I never thought this would happen. In my head, I'm like, they went 5 years ago. You've literally lived through this.
Like, you can't even say that.
Quite literally something you have experienced.
Yeah.
But I guess I have a question for you. Like,
sure.
Do you feel like you're reacting to it any differently because of that? Because this isn't the first, it won't be the first, but
so,
you know.
Yeah, like, I definitely think. Because
they're so close together.
Well, yeah, it's funny because it's in two ways. Like, one, look, I think the first time's always going to be the first time.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around
that.
it's a factual statement.
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, like, that's the one where it's like, you know, I thought my father would die without seeing us. I might never, you know, like, we all had that, you know, for our families. And we thought about all the people. Like, I thought about my dad who died and didn't get to see it. Like, so many people thought about their loved ones who weren't there for it. People were bringing, you know, Super Bowl champion stuff to grave sites. All, like, there was that thing that made it and just the whole weight that I don't think can ever, not don't think, obviously can never be replicated. So that was like, it's again, if we waited 50 more years to win another, you never know how, and knock on wood, you know, let's not do that. Let's win on in a couple weeks here and we're good. But like, so I think from that perspective, it's different, but I will also say that on the flip side of that, where it's different in a positive way is that I felt like, cause last time it was so just such a wild run to the end with Foles and like, oh my God, whoa, it's actually gonna, oh my God, whoa.
Yeah.
Like this time I feel like I'm appreciating it more as it goes. I'm like recognizing how special this team is and how special this moment is. Whereas last time it was all like emotion. This time it's more like logically I could step back and be like, holy crap. Like, This is a special team and a special moment, and don't forget this, relish this, because this is rare.
Well, so last night I'm standing in the hallway outside the locker room, like the players are coming off the field, and to me it felt like it was more of a party than it was in 2017. Like players were like all the friends and family were there. Players were like, you know, drinking beers, fans were handing them. Like Darius Slay was dancing. Like players were going wild. And I thought to myself, man, I don't remember it being like this in 2017. But I think what it is now that we're going through it a second time, you can kind of like take a step back and view it a little slower and like really take everything in because you've done it before.
Exactly.
Whereas
right.
in 2017, it was a whirlwind. Like I didn't know what to expect when I was standing in the hallway. Like my only memory of 2017, the hallway, like after they won the NFC Championship, was Aguilar coming out and just being like to the media, like, come on, we're going. Like, that's it. I have no other memory of that night. Right? Like, but now I'll remember so many things about last night. Like Fletcher Cox drinking a beer, like Brandon Graham being the last player to come out.
Jalen with a cigar.
Like, I do think so. Brandon Graham, I'm almost positive, was the last player off the field. I do wonder about that.
Interesting.
You know, and not just the last player, very much the last player. Mm. Like, there was probably, I would say, 8 minutes from when the last player I saw come in till Brandon came in. Hmm. And I don't think he's going to retire or anything.
It's interesting.
It was noteworthy to me that he was so much passive. And he was probably taking it all in, right? I mean, look, think about this, too.
Because, look, he doesn't know, like, he's a free agent, right, after the season,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns.
The captains for last night's game, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, three all-time legendary Eagles, mm-hmm. like, you can make the argument all three of them are in the top 10 of Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. You know, Brandon Graham is.
Brandon Kelce are my two favorite. And Foles.
Right?
Those are my three favorite of all time.
Yeah.
Those are my guys.
Last night could be probably will be the last time all three of them are on the team together.
I
think one or two could be back. I would be surprised if all three are back. It could happen. I'm not like saying it won't, but you would think the chances are small that all three will be back. So, just adding to what was an amazing night. Like, I heard a lot of people say after the game, I heard a lot of media members say, like, oh, what a shitty game that was. I don't know if that really matters, honestly. Like, in the grand scheme of things, I don't really care if it was a good football game or not. The thing you'll remember about last night was, and, you know, 5 years, was they dominated to win the NFC Championship game at home in the last game that Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, and Brandon Graham were all on the team.
Yeah.
Like, that's an awesome moment.
And remembering this team, like, in the dominance of this team all year, we'll just remember how dominant they were. And look, I'm right there with you. It's so funny because I cared about, like, one thing I'm really happy about was that Pat's Eagles Super Bowl was such a fun game.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, we look back, our first time, like, couldn't have been more fun and special and all that type of stuff. Like, I mean, my favorite of all the awesome stats, I mean, first of all, they beat Brady when he threw for 5-0. They beat the GOAT, like, all that stuff. But, like, my favorite stat about that one, in the history of football, all the games ever played, the most yards in a game ever, not a playoff game, like, any game. Like, for that to be in a Super Bowl is just such a, like, so, like, we have that. Like, I don't care. Like, we can win 3-0 now. Like, I just want the wins. Like, I'm past the, like, I want the style. I want the memorable game. Like, whatever. I just want a freaking ring again. Like, and now I just want to, Elliot, to use a term we my new
line.
Thing, stack rings, buddy. All right, that's where I want to go. All right, my next thing is now, we stack wins, we stack rings.
We're officially a stack rings podcast. But, so is there a part of you that thinks about the last Super Bowl? And how it could not have been better.
Well, that's my point. It was like perfect.
It's
like a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. It was a movie story.
Do you think there's part of like Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce that are like, man, it would kind of suck to go out. Like if they lose or whatever. Think about how we remember them now. Like Kelce in the Mummers costume. Brandon Graham making the play. Like that will change a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it'll matter.
Maybe you're right.
They're set in stone with that.
Yeah,
other
no,
stuff.
I
it's
agree.
It's the first
but,
time they helped us win our first Super Bowl. They played those roles. It doesn't matter.
Let's say Brandon Graham commits a penalty.
Doesn't matter.
You know,
doesn't matter.
I just wonder
if he could be Joseph Asai that do what happened in that game and lose him the game. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It really doesn't. I get your point, and it's an interesting thought.
Right.
I really think like that first Super Bowl matters so much. It's nothing can impugn
that. I agree, and I think in the grand scheme of things, you are correct. It just, I think this, again, I think the 2017 team was special. The 2022 team is just dominant.
Yeah.
You know, so we can guys talk about the Chiefs a little bit today. I'm going to say this off the jump. When they got the Giants, I was like, they're definitely winning this game. When they got the Niners, I was, the Niners are probably overrated. They're going to win this game. The Chiefs are really, 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 really good. Like, this is why I couldn't sleep till last night. Like, doing research on the Chiefs, like, looking, like, they are really, really good. This is the first time in a long time I think I've gone into an Eagles game with the idea of, man, this opponent, I think I feel less confident than when the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And that was probably because at that point, I'm like, well, they're just definitely not going to lose because the Chiefs are awesome.
Eagles are winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I tweeted it last night. I believe it. They're better than the Chiefs. They've been better all year. They've been better all year than the Chiefs. They've been the better team. They were better yesterday. Look, the Chiefs are banged up, man. This Eagles team is going in about as healthy. I mean, Dickerson really the only guy had an issue yesterday. I'm sure he's fine. He always leaves games. Like, the Chiefs are losing receivers right and left. Mahomes is hobbling around.
Yeah, he was hobbling around.
Look, anything can happen, but the Eagles are going into this game way healthier. They have a better roster. I mean, they have a coach who I trust more in big games. No offense, Andy. I know you've won more big games, but he's still Andy Reid. You know, there were some real questionable things, you know? So, I agree with you. This is by far the toughest test of the season, as we knew it would be. All season long, it was the, you know, and towards the end of the season, it became the Bengals and the Niners part of that, too. But, like, the first part of the season was like, all right, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Eagles. That's it. Yeah. Those are the teams. And then the Bills fell off. The Chiefs and the Eagles all year long. Like we said with the past week where it's like, oh, the two best teams are playing in the Super Bowl all year long. These two teams are 16-3 right now.
I agree with
facing
that.
Facing the Super Bowl. We are seeing a mammoth Titan matchup this year. Two great, great football teams.
Yep.
So that's awesome. That's what you want. But I think anything can happen. I mean, they have Patrick Mahomes. They had a couple weeks to heal. Like we've seen him do amazing things. I think the Eagles are a better football team than the Chiefs. I think they're a better roster, and I feel so confident. Like, not like, you know, no, like, lock it up, but I really think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm not making my pick yet. I don't feel that way. I'm not saying I don't think they're going to win.
I get it.
I
get it. You're not there yet.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm going to get there, but we'll see.
Find out.
But
I like this.
To your point, though, think about this. If they win the Super Bowl, they will have beaten Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that. And Belichick and Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you love to rip on Belichick, but they would be the two best modern coaches by far. Two of the five winningest coaches in the history of the sport. I mean, they would be.
I mean, think about this. They will have beaten, again, the most accomplished quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, arguably the most talented quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, the best head coach in Andy Reid, and the best defensive coordinator in Bill Belichick. Like, think about that. Not many people can say they beat the best defensive coordinator ever in the Super Bowl. I guess Eli Manning can.
This guy, dude.
Yeah. And Nick Foles.
Yeah. This guy.
What do you think of the Andy thing?
I think it's awesome. I think it's going to be really fun. Like, I don't, you know, have ill will towards Andy or whatever. Yeah. I'm also not an Andy devotee. I'm not one of those people who's like, you know, thinks Andy's the greatest thing ever. Like, I think Andy's one of the great coaches of all time and innovator, all that stuff. I'm happy he was here. I'm happy he's gone. Mm-hmm. Obviously, look, we went to the Super Bowl once with Andy. We've gone twice since he's been gone. I think it's worked out for everybody. But I would love to beat him. You know, I love Andy. I have no hate towards Andy, but I want to beat him. I think it'd be super fun to beat Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. Like, that sounds awesome to me.
So, you know, when you talk about like movies and music and stuff, there's the how does it hold up over time?
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how Andy's years hold up over time. Because I'm definitely an Andy Reid appreciator. You know, we did the whole Howie Andy thing. Like, I hold Andy in very high regard for sure. But if Doug wins a Super Bowl and then Nick wins a Super Bowl,
and Andy didn't, no less.
I don't know. I mean, again, like, that was my childhood. So for those teams to me, I will always hold in a light of like, man, those were great dominant teams. But the further away you get, it's like a movie. You know, we're talking about what movie were we saying didn't hold up well? Meet the Parents. Like, mm-hmm. I thought when I was younger
I think it's so funny, but it's not as funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like super bad. Like, I'll be 70 and think
still
it's hysterical, right?
Yeah, super bad's amazing.
I do wonder if Andy holds up.
Love this take.
Just because...
And he's an Eagles coach, because obviously done great in Kansas City, too.
Yeah, for sure. But I just, you know, I do wonder. Like, when Doug won it, it was, okay, well, you know, he won a Super Bowl, but it's... If another head coach wins it, I don't know.
No. I think it's really interesting.
I don't know if, you know, we'll have 2 weeks to discuss it.
Well,
but
yeah,
I just...
it's an interesting thing on Andy's legacy. And look, I mean, it does say something, because, you know, look, this organization, this is a... That's not a crazy statement. Look, Andy was here for about the same amount of time he's been gone, more or less. Like, a couple more years.
Yeah.
He was here for 12, and he's gone for, like, 10 or 11 now, whatever.
That is wild.
Like, it's wild, right?
Yeah.
But, like, think about that. One Super Bowl they got to with him, and they've gotten to two already since he was gone. Like, that...
And if he wins it, yeah.
And if they win it, they've already won two more, and they'll have beaten him. If the Eagles win this one, as much success as Andy has had in Kansas City, and he's been amazing, he's yet to have a losing record. 9-7 is his worst record in Kansas City. He's gone to, like, five...
Wow, when did he go 9-7?
The one year with Alex Smith, maybe, or whatever,
okay.
But it was, like, his first or second year,
okay.
Really early on. So, has never had a losing record. It's like, you've looked down the Pro Football Reference page is like 12, 13, mm-hmm. 11, 12, 13. Like, it's unbelievable. Five conference championship games, all that. But,
yeah.
You know, if he loses this Super Bowl, like, he'll have one Super Bowl win with Mahomes, and the Eagles have won two since he left.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a very... And look, again, it does, like, Andy... Patrick Mahomes helped Andy get past the in-game demons, but that doesn't mean he's good at it. Like, Mahomes helps him, but Andy is still a less than average in-game coach in big games.
I was thinking about this last night, too. So,
below average, less than average.
Like,
who says less than average?
Obviously, obviously the Super Bowl is a big game. Breaking news, right? That's my hot take of the day. Super Bowl is a big game.
It's a hot take.
But I do think it definitely adds to the big game thing that for Andy that it's the Eagles.
Yeah, of course
you know?
It does. How could it not? I mean, they're calling it the first thing they said when the Chiefs won last night.
The Andy Reid Bowl.
It was the first thing.
Yeah.
Get ready for the Andy Reid Bowl.
And I think the Eagles might have the coach. Might, I should say. They might have the coaching matchup in this. One thing that
I think in-game they definitely do.
I think in-game they do.
I think scheming prior to the game they probably don't. But, like, I think in-game they definitely do.
So, you know, it's an AFC team, so I obviously don't follow them, like, as closely throughout the year. I knew they were awesome. I will say, numbers...
I woke up to Elliot's research this morning that he sent us, and he's he's a little nervous about all the research he's done.
Dude,
let me tell you,
their offense is... So two things I cannot not understand upon my initial research of the Chiefs. One, how are they so awesome at offense with, like, below average skill players, in my opinion? Kelsey's awesome,
Mahomes
but outside
is
of that... Yeah, it's Mahomes, right?
And Andy. Andy is a great
schemer.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. So,
that's why I said going into the...
Yes.
I think Andy's still as great. And that's not a rip on Sirianni. I think him and Steichen, they've all done a great job scheming. But, like, going the week of, like, there's no one offensively better than Andy. He's the best at it.
So there's that. The other thing I cannot understand for the life of me is how in the world the Chiefs were second in the league in sacks this year and, like, top four in pressures and, like, all these things. With basically just Chris Jones. Their number two
Frank Clark's good, too. He was hurt. He was hurt at times. But Frank Clark's a good pass rusher.
True. Yeah. Okay.
Even if the numbers weren't there for him this year, we've seen enough of Frank Clark the last few years. He's a good pass rusher.
Right. So, yes. They are a little like the Niners.
Karlaftis has been, like, decent
Karlaftis
for them.
Karlaftis has six sacks, right? They're a little like the Niners in the way where Chris Jones has a ton of sacks, mm-hmm. and then everyone else is, like... Now, the difference is Chris Jones is an interior guy versus edge,
changes
right?
Yeah.
So, but... The two things that have me the most worried, and their offensive line is good.
Very.
Yeah.
I mean,
their tackles are only okay.
Oh, shocking. The lines are good.
Right.
Andy, yeah.
The interior
that's where we
of
got
it,
that.
I think, is the strength of it. I think the tackles are only okay.
I mean, yeah. Humphrey, their center is phenomenal.
Yeah,
their guards
Thurnley
are great.
Thurnley,
yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Thuney, there it is.
Phenomenal.
Right. Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Former Patriot.
So, one thing I think I repeatedly said about the Niners was, I think the Eagles have the advantage on the lines. I'm not there yet with that.
I still think the Eagles do have the advantage on the lines. I still, but it's a
the
much...
Eagles' lines are awesome.
It's a much slimmer advantage.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles, I know we've... are they the best? I think they have the best offensive line in football, the Eagles, still, to this
moment.
I
think they
again,
do, too.
Like, they just found a way to run on the best run defense in the league
and
all that stuff. I still think they're the best, but to your point, like, Chiefs might be second best. Chiefs are right there. It's like, you know, and D-lines, I think the Eagles' D-line's better, but it's really close. The overall, the lines matchup is way, way, way tougher than
that's
than
what
the
I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
no
that
doubt.
That is, like, the core
of
my
football.
Discomfort.
Yeah. And then because they got Mahomes. Like,
yeah.
If you got a good offensive line in Mahomes, you have a chance. It doesn't matter who's running the routes. We've seen that. Like, then Kelsey,
that's
one
what
guy
I'm
you can trust. It
yeah.
They're awesome.
I
think this is the toughest game the Eagles have played all season without a doubt.
Yeah. No. And yeah. So that was just, you know, when I was up till 1 a.m. both doing research on the Chiefs and thinking about what shoes I'm going to buy for the Super Bowl. Yeah, those are the two things that were on my mind.
Important things,
yeah,
right?
It is.
All right.
Yeah.
Quickly before we get out of here, because it is Monday of the Super Bowl. I have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
And we got daily pods coming every single day to the Super Bowl.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, I have a final thought too.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Obviously, every day that was I know. I'm gonna have to add a few because we're going 20. I gotta add a few. I got a really good one for tomorrow.
Oh, the Eagles are favorites, by the way.
I know. So it opened as the Chiefs favorites, and then it swung immediately, like in seconds. Eagles are favorites. Rank the storylines.
Okay. This sounds like an article I would have written a few years ago. Let me think. Okay. I mean, obviously.
So there's Andy, the Kelsey's.
Everyone is Andy, yeah.
Mahomes versus Hurts.
So Mahomes versus Hurts, to me, is the battle for QB1 in the NFL.
Yeah, also, did you see the it went all over Twitter last night, the first time in the history of
Two African-American
quarterbacks.
That's
great, two black
really
quarterbacks.
Cool,
that's really cool. Yeah, finally. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, and look, like, another storyline is if Hurts wins it, the days of saying you can't win with. And I don't actually.
Yeah, he could be the first, like, quote unquote, and he's not, you know, running, but he is. First ever.
He is for sure, but it also does annoy me.
Steve Young won a Super Bowl back in the day, and it's like, you know, whatever. But
it does annoy me a little bit when he gets categorized just as that, because I think it severely, like, undermines what he does
absolutely.
As a passer. But,
oh, my God, yes.
But whatever.
Yes.
So,
yes. And I mean, a decision maker, like, he makes more decisions on a play and on a consistent basis than any quarterback in the league has to.
I agree. I think another underrated storyline is the sports country falling in love with Nick Sirianni.
Love this.
I think he's going to be unbelievable on media night. Is there any head coach better suited to sit up there and get asked from like somebody in a wrestling mask from Nick Jr. about what Disney villain he would slime?
It's perfect.
Like he's so perfect. Yeah. He's going to cry. He's going to talk about Mountain Union. He's going to like,
he's going to bring his kids up there. He's like, I've been dreaming of going to the Super Bowl since I was 2 years old. Like, he had his kids up there. He's being a dad. By the way, we always talk about me and Nick being best friends someday. And I plan on this happening.
I truly believe it.
Dude, when he was dealing with his daughter up on the stage, I was like, I am you, Nick.
Yeah.
I was like, and he's like, listen, he's like, yo, relax. Like, I was like, okay, your daughter is totally being a Zoe right now. And I totally get it.
Well, she was doing like, she was throwing.
I was like, and even then, she's being way better than Zoe would probably be in that spot. So trust me, I'm like, I was like, I love you, Nick. I feel you right now. It's adorable. I love it.
I've said it before, but like, I think little things like that are just so important about him as a head coach.
He feels like a human being, and that's some like, you know, robot up there.
I will be interested to see Jalen on media night.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not his setting, in
effervescent
my
personality.
You know, he's not the most like, get up and salsa
like,
dance.
I'm just ready
somebody.
To play.
Exactly, right. But I mean, you know,
look,
and
he
showed it.
He smiled last night. He sang the fight song. Like I think for the first time, and there's still work to do, as he'd say, and all that.
Yeah.
But I think we saw that, like, you know, kind of like you know, with, and I know I've compared him a lot to Brady in terms of his mentality.
Very Brady-esque.
Yeah, the way he goes about his business, the wake up and work and work and work, and all he cares about is being great and all that. Like that is Brady-esque. But like we've seen Brady over the last few years, like the personality's come out. It's like, oh, he's not just like this.
He cried at media night.
Yeah, he's shown Brazilian stuff. I think with Hurts, like yesterday we saw that it's in there. It's just that he is focused and he is dedicated and he's not letting it out because he's got work to do, but it's there. Like the person, when he was singing the fight song, like and smiling and he was so charismatic, like it's there.
I thought it was actually a little impressive that he knew the fight song.
Yeah.
He hasn't been here for seven years.
Only messed
you know?
Up the fight Eagles fight, the second verse. He said fly Eagles fly
which is fine. Yeah.
Most people mess that up.
That's a huge spot to
did a great
to get
job.
Those right.
And I was actually a little like, whoa, Terry, you're asking him to do it here. I was like, that's kind of like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I think he knows it because I knew he did the thing with Kelsey.
Terry,
but I'm like,
Terry was bad.
But I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, how do you put him on the spot like that? Like, what, you know, like a 24 year old kid, like,
so the final thing.
You're trying to set him up to have like a viral clip go viral. Oh, you know.
Yeah. If I was him, I would have just been like done the Eagles chant.
Yeah.
Kept
like, yeah.
The final thing before we get to the final thought.
Yes.
That like my there people are gonna fall in love with this Eagles team. The personalities, like they have so many amazing personalities. There's no guys on there. Honest to God, there's not a single guy on the roster that I can know at least. You know, I don't know these guys off the field like super, super, super well. I don't think there's not like one bad guy on the team. Like, I think every guy is like ready to go to media night, do all these things, and just like everyone's going to fall in love with them.
Didn't I say this has always been one of my things? I've probably said on the pod 100 times, like another one of my favorite things about 2017, about that being our first, you know, Super Bowl, is that it was such a great group of guys to root for. It's all these guys who we love and care about and like are wonderful humans, the Malcolm Jenkins, the Torrey Smith, like all these guys are like great people. Brent Selleck, we just think about like great guy, BG, Kelsey, all that. feels like we got that again with this 100%. Group, and especially with Sirianni. It hurts at the top. To your point, like, they're such an easy group of humans to root for.
Yep.
And that does add to it. Like, it's supposed to be fun, right? And it's like, you want to be, make it, it's saying. Easy to root like, for them. Like, that's fun.
Watching
you know?
this group of people go through the Super Bowl thing, I think that the Eagles will come out looking very
and
good.
And also, look, shout out to some guys who've waited a really long time. Like, Darius Slay has been a great player in the NFL for a long time, languishing away on the line and stuff. Like, he's waited a long time to 100%. Be in this spot. Like, there are dudes like that. It's just... I'm really
Hassan Reddick. You can keep going.
Hassan Reddick,
you know,
AJ Brown. I know he hasn't been in the league that long, but he's never been in the Super Bowl.
You know,
and like one of the best players at his position. Those guys always want to be on the biggest stages.
N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis must just be like, well, this is just what it's like to play football. This is what it's like to play football. Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, I'm happy you brought that up. Did you see the Stetson Bennett thing? Kevin Clark tweeted this out, and he's like, he looked into it, he can't find it. He's like, this is probably, he's like, I'm not 100% sure because I don't have all the info, but likely the first chance that if Jalen Hurts can win the Super Bowl, that the Super Bowl winning quarterback will be younger than the national championship winning quarterback that year. Like, would be pretty amazing.
It is wild.
Because there are a lot of factors that have to make that happen. Yes. So, all right. So again, we are going to be here all week, Monday, Tuesday, Friday. I just went from Tuesday to Friday. That's what I'm saying. I'm ready for the Super Bowl, guys. I'm ready.
You don't really hear people do that
often. Ready to win the Super Bowl, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, I went Tuesday, threw me off because it's the worst day of the week, so I just jumped to Friday.
There you go.
So upset with Tuesday. See what I did there? We're going to be here every day. We're going to be every day next week. We got the show on Saturday. We got all kinds of content coming your way. It's going to be so much fun. All right.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Final thoughts.
Okay. As a society... we need to move on from the victory cigar. It smells so gross. I go in the Eagles locker room last night.
I like the smell of a cigar, but
I go in the Eagles locker room.
Cigar smoke indoors in general is not like, you know, it can get to be a lot.
And I'm not trying to be a buzzkill. I think there's something for sure. Like, maybe invent something. I don't know. But they just smell really bad. The smell stays on your clothing. It's not even doing a health thing. Look, they look cool. Objectively, they look awesome. There's no question about it. I just think... It's time to find something else. I think they're mostly just gross. And this is not just a celebration thing. I don't like smoking cigars in general.
So I like cigars, but I don't like
the smell stays on your
clothes. I went through a cigar phase where I had a humidor and I love cigars and they're fun.
Wow.
And that's long since over. But I like a cigar every once in a while and stuff. But generally on the whole, like it is a lot, especially if you're in a room with a lot of them and stuff.
They look really cool. There's no denying.
I like
that.
Like a few puffs of a cigar, and then I'm like, all right,
that's
tired
what I'm saying.
This.
No one really enjoys. No one actually super enjoys a cigar. Maybe 5% of the population. Yeah. Most people just do it because it looks cool.
Yeah.
So find something else that looks
not
cool.
Not a bad take. And also, let's be honest, it's kind of Burrow's thing too.
When
you think of the cigar, you think of Joe Burrow after the championship.
You do. You know, that's a good point.
You know,
I don't think
he should
have monopoly on it.
He shouldn't. And there have been other people throughout history. You know, all that. But still, like, when I think of the NFL and I think of cigars, I think of Burrow. So that's my thing, whatever. But
no, but you're right. I think nowadays you think about it. But, like, Jalen did look cool with the cigar. There's no question. I'm ready to move on.
Okay. It's a fair take. All right. Tomorrow, my final thought is going to be a TV take that I feel very strongly about.
Fun.
I'm teasing my final thought tomorrow. Here's my final thought. It's love. And in two spots, and really this whole run with everybody. But first and foremost, I know we said it a bunch, but you know, we were on the radio and we were doing the postgame pod and stuff. But like, to everyone who came out to see us at McSorley's on Friday night, like
unbelievable.
From the bottom of our, Elliot and I spent the whole ride home just being like, well, that was the coolest night of our lives.
It
like,
was the closest I've ever felt to a celebrity.
I was like, I'm not a celebrity. But like that night, I felt like wow. Like people, and even more than that, like it was just, we don't get to go out with this pod on the road at time. We do the parks thing, but that's Saturdays and you know, people are busy and all that.
Like,
and it's not, and we're working. We're doing a show. We're not like hanging out.
Right.
We don't get to go out and talk to people as much as, you know, we would like to, and we want to do more of that and all that. But to like feel the love.
Dude, it was unbelievable to hear how far people drove to come. Like
Virginia, Harrisburg, like Bethlehem. We have people coming from all over. Like that's humbling.
I think it was Real One Hannah that said this. Like, it felt like meeting up with old friends.
Yeah,
and that is what it felt like.
Yeah,
you know,
I had someone say, it was like, I feel like I know you guys.
Yeah.
But you don't know me. But I was like, well, I want to know you.
Right, but the awesome thing was as soon as you start, like, it's just nice to know, like, we talk so much about how the Eagles are an awesome team. It's nice to know that the people that listen to this pod are awesome, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It really is. And look, a real one won the tickets, which
was
awesome.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Shout out.
Yeah.
And just in general, again, I think, you know, for Elliot and I, it was a really... one of the great nights of our career. We said down the way, like literally one of the best nights of our career to be able to meet so many people, to spend the time and just to feel that people appreciate what we're doing and want to be on this with us. And we felt that with the Daily Pods, but to like meet people and look in their eyes and talk to them. And like, we, what did you say, 20 to 30 Real One downloaders, the auto downloaders there. Yeah. Easy, right?
Dude,
people
came
at me like, I'm an auto downloader. I'm like, I freaking love you. Like, oh my God, I love you.
And it was also cool watching, like, I don't know. I guess I don't know if they didn't know each other, but just seeing like people that I don't think knew each other beforehand, like hanging out and talking, you know? So, look, we're going to definitely do something similar like that again. Who knows? Maybe it'll even be this week, right? Yep. It's going to be wild.
Hopefully.
I would just say this too, if you're listening and you were thinking, like, maybe I'll go, but I'm not going to know anyone. Like, it is, like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So if there's something like this again, and you, look, if you came last time,
everyone
you should come
so
again
because nice.
I want to see
meet
you
people.
Again.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, it's, yeah, if you should come, I'm talking to you, the listener.
Yeah.
You should come next time.
All right. And last part of the love, and I'm doing this because Elliot's too much humility to do it, but. Shout out to everyone who just torpedoed Elliot past his goal on the book drive.
Yes.
Like, seriously, we had a couple people in there. Like, what? So I went in and I put it, I was like, I'm going to put in $30. I'm like,
very generous.
I was like, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
It's cool. And I look below me and it's $680.
Yeah.
The guy below me, I'm like, all right, dude.
Robert Griffin. Shout out to
RG3. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But Robert Griffin was another guy who gave you like $380 to get you that 5,000 goal. Like, dude, like, it's not even my book drive.
I know.
And I'm like feeling the feels over
it's
this. Like, it means so much
amazing,
to me that people watch this and cared enough to do
100%.
That. Like, I freaking love you people.
Yeah.
I love all you. I love this community. And that was like, that really, I know how much it meant to Elliot. It even meant a lot to me. It's not even my book drive. Just thank
it was
you,
awesome.
Everybody.
And look, we have 2 more weeks now.
Yep.
So who knows? But I think like when I started that, so my mom worked in education. She was head of education for the city for 8 years. So like it's always, and I went to Philly Public School. So like it's always been an issue that I care a lot about, mostly seeing all the work my mom did, but then going to the schools. But when you do something like that, just to be completely transparent, there's a part of me that's worried, you know, what if no one donates, right? Like what if I try to do this thing and then it's like I get like $800 out of 5,000 and it's embarrassing looking, right? So I'm really happy that it's past the goal. I'm so happy everyone donated and I'm just... Yeah, it was an amazing experience. So Spike Askin, our former boss, was the one that like encouraged me to go, to kind of do it. And shout out to him for all the tweets. And like, it's an amazing feeling to know like what the, I mean, dude, it's almost like, I think it's over 1,500 books that are going to go
awesome.
Into. And if you're listening and you haven't donated, the link is still on my Twitter page. I'm going to do it through the Super Bowl. But yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, let's keep
thank
it rolling.
You for your donation. Thank you to everybody that did donate.
Yeah,
it really,
they,
it means
look,
a ton.
They can never get enough books for school kids. You know, look, I mean, Mr. Books over here.
I was going to say, you're Mr.
All
Kindle.
All I do is read. Like, it's my favorite thing in the world to do. Like, I know how important it is, and it is awesome. So thank you to everyone who donated. Keep donating. It's a great cause, and
yes,
it just
thank
meant a lot
you for bringing
to us.
That up. Yeah.
And what a great community we have here. It just meant a lot to us. A weekend of wins and community and love, and it's just been really awesome.
It's going to be such an amazing 2 weeks.
2 more weeks.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. All right, we love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. The Eagles are in the freaking Super Bowl, man.
Amen.
Against Andy Reid.
Amen.
All right, go Birds. We'll be back tomorrow. He's Elliot M. James.